Kreshi of Masech Bechul and Daf Kuf Mem Aleph. We will begin Daf Kuf Mem on the days of Milah the Amid at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Hoysimai Fefes, if the mother bird was hovering over the nest, does Mashkin Afer Noigis Bekan, if its wings are touching the nest, Hayav L'Shalayach, there's a Din of Shluach HaKan, Ein Kun Afer Noigis Bekan, but if its wings are not touching the nest, there is no din of Shluch HaKan. Furthermore, teaches us the Mishnah, Ein Sham Ela Afroich Echad Rebeyachas, if in the nest there's only one chick or one egg, still Chai V'Shaleach, the din of Shluch HaKan applies. Shnema Kan, Kan Mikamakayim, it makes no difference how many babies there are in the nest. Hayisham Afroichim Afroichim. However, if the chicks in the nest can already fly. I sort of mafarshim ask, why does the Mishnah use the word mafrichim to describe their ability to fly? Should not the Mishnah have used the word parchim, that they fly? So I saw a number of terutzim. One terutz that I saw is that usually birds fly in a group, and that's why the Mishnah uses the words mafrichim. Another terutz that I saw is that usually birds, what gets them to fly is by other birds flying with them, and that by other birds flying around them, that spurs them to fly, and that's why the Mishnah uses the word mafrichim. There are other birds that are flying, so it will most likely fly. Another pshat that I saw is that the Mishnah is teaching us that these birds don't have to actually be flying. They don't have to be flying very well. They're only mafrichim. They're only beginning to fly. That is already enough for them not to be a chiv of shluach hakayim. Oy bei mezuris, as we've explained many times, the definition of bei mezuris are what's known in halacha as safna the ara, eggs that are not fertilized, eggs that did not come from a male and a female. Those eggs cannot turn into chickens, into chicks. So such eggs, again, there is no chiv of shluach hakayim. Potem l'shalayach. There is no chiv shluach hakan shenemar, for as the Torah says, ve'em revetzes aloi freichem ala beitzim, ma afroichem b'nei keyoma. When we speak about the chicks, these are chicks that are living and will live. A beitzim b'nei keyoma, it has to be such eggs. Viable eggs. Yotzim b'zorois, they will not turn into a bird. O ma beitzurichem l'iman. So too, when we speak about beitzim, they need their mother, because they need their mother to sit on them in order that they be able to hatch. Af afroichim, so too born chicks have to be such a type that they are tzrichan li'iman, that they need their mother. Yotzim afroichim, once they can fly already, they no longer need their mother, and there is no mitzvah anymore of shluach hakeim. Tan rabbanan, the braisa says, the pasuk says revetzes, v'loim mefefes, that the Torah says that they have to be sitting, not if they're flying. Yachol afilu knefer nagas pekan, even if they're touching, they should not be a chiyuv of shluach hakeim. Tamaloima, that's why the Torah uses the words revetzes, that even if it's just the wings are just touching, we already have a chiyuv of shluach hakeim. Ma tamuda, ask the Gemara, how do we understand this from the pasuk? Answers the Gemara, midlike Sivya Sheves. If the Torah meant that it has to be actually on top of the bird, then the Torah should have used the word Sheves. Why does the Torah use the word Revetzes? To teach us that as long as it's hovering and touching, we have a Chiyuv of Shiluach Hakan. Says the Gemara further, Amar Yehuda Meraf, Hoshi Yeshevis Ben Shnei Roy De'ilim. If the bird is sitting between two branches of a tree, not touching the nest, is there a chiv of Shluach HaKan or not? Says Rabbi Yehuda ben Rav as follows. Roy, Kol She'im Tishamet, if it's in such a situation that were the branches to fall away, Mefela Saleim, the egg would fall on top, the mother would fall on top of the egg, Chayav l'shalayach, there is a chiv of shluach hakeim. From lab, if there is no, if they won't fall, the birds will not fall on top of the eggs, then potter that there is no chiyuv of shloich hakein. And as Rashi explains, that this case is different than the case of our Mishnah, because our Mishnah, where it's hovering, so it isn't that close to the nest, and therefore only if it's a situation where we have at least the wings touching the babies, is there a chiyuv of shloich hakein. But here, since it's directly on top, says Rav, that we don't have to have any touching at all. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, it says in the Braisa, Hoshi Yishevas B'neim, if the mother bird is sitting between the eggs, Potem al Shaleach, there is no chiyuv of shloich hakein. Al Gabeim, however, it's on top of the eggs, Chayv al Shaleach, there is a chiyuv of shloich hakein. Hoshi my Fefes, if the bird is hovering, if the mother bird is hovering over the nest, says this Braisa, and of course the Gemara soon will ask the question that this is in contradiction to what we just learned in the Mishnah, Afila Knefeh Noigus Bekad, even if its wings are touching the nest, Patam L'Shalayach, there is no Chiyuv of Shluch HaKan. Makes the Gemara its point. My love, Agabeim, Dumi Demnei, Rebineim. The Gemara assumes that when the Braisa says Agabeim, it's similar to the situation where it's in the middle of them. Ma b'neim, the b'neim is that the Bryce is saying that there is no chiyuv of shluch hakein, the nagabahu, that they're touching, but they're not touching from the top, they're only touching from the side. For as Rishayim explained, if it's referring to a situation where they're not even touching, there's no havamina, that, and they're not on top, there's no havamina that there will be a chiyuv of shluch hakein. So the Braisa must be referring to a situation where they are touching, and they're touching from the side, and the Braisa is teaching us that since they're only touching from the side and not from the top, there is no chiyuv of shloich hakein. So says the Gemara, af al gabein. So when the Braisa says that on top there is a chiyuv of shloich hakein, it must be the nagabahu, that they're actually touching. Av arayv de'ilan, but if they're in the limbs of the tree, and as we described, they're not touching the nest at all, it seems that this Braisa would teach us that it's potter, unlike what Rav just said, that to be chayif. That's not the way to understand the Braisa. Rather, the way to understand the Braisa is al-gabeyem dumi d'beneyem. We make the following analogy. Ma b'neyem, d'loy nogu alayu. What is the reason why b'neyem there is dochiv shluch kan, because it's not touching from the top. Af al gabeim, so tell you the case of gabeim, when is a potter, d'loy nogulayim, only when there's absolutely no connection from the top. The hainu, even if there's no connection from the top, there, hainu roiv de ilon, that's the case of roiv de ilon, and actually, the braisa is, the Gemara is going from one extreme to the other extreme. The Braisa has now come to teach us that a mother bird sitting on top of the eggs is chayiv for shluch hakein, even if it's not touching the eggs. Just like the case where it's talking between the eggs and it's not touching from the above. It's touching from the side, but not from the top. So what we're learning from here is just the opposite, that if the mother bird is on top, even though it's not touching, then it will be chayiv in shluch hakein. And actually this braisa then turns out to be a raya to Rav's opinion. Hachanam stavra, and the Gemara says it makes sense to learn pshat in the braisa this way. This akadaita, for if we will argue that roiv de ilan and potter, adatani, why at the end of the braisa, when the braisa wanted to tell us a case where there is no chiyuv of shluch hakein, that the braisa choose to speak about a case of hoitz my fefes, that if it's hovering on top, I feel it can affair noigis pekan, even if the wings are touching the nest, potem l'shaleach, the braisa could have taught us a bigger chiddush, listening to Rav de Ilan, the braisa could have taught us that even by Rav de Ilan, there is no chiyuv of shluch hakein, and the Gemara is suggesting that if by Rav de Ilan, there won't be a chiyuv of shluch hakein, Koshke my fefes, there won't be a chiyuv of shluch hakein. Says the Gemara, that is not a compelling argument. because ma'ifefes itzrukalei. The fil kanafem negus bekan patam l'shalech. What the Gemara is saying is that on one hand we could say that roiv de ilon is a bigger chiddush. The reason we could say that roiv de ilon is a bigger chiddush is because roiv de ilon, as we learned, the mother bird is right on top and it's going to fall as soon as the branches are separated. On the other hand, an argument could be made that in the case of my fefes, where they're actually touching, where the wings are actually touching, it's considered more connected. So we don't really have a clear indication of which is the bigger chiddush. So the raya is not from that way, but Gemara is still keeping to the opinion that there is no chiyuv of shluach hakan by there is a chiyuv of shluach hakan by roiv de ilon. But now the Gemara goes back to the question. This braisa clearly indicated that if it's hovering on top and touching, the halacha will be that there is no chiyuv of, if it's hovering on top and it's touching, there is a chiyuv, there is no chiyuv of shluach hakan. Whereas our Mishnah said that if the wings are still touching, there is a chiyuv of shluach hakan. My Ranan Tanan asked the Gemara, "Bizman Shnukfei Noigis Bekan Chayav L'Shaleach." And the Mashar makes a very important point. He says the question, as we immediately pointed out, that there's a stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa, is immediately, as soon as we learn the Braisa, we see the stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. So he asks, why did the Gemara have to wait until it gave the teretz that it gave to come up with this, question? So he suggests that if we didn't have till now the issue with the roiv de ilon, then we could say that the roiv de ilon is referring to a situation of what's not actually on top of the nest. But now that we said the roiv de ilon is on top of the nest, so we have a stira, and that's how moifefes also is. So we have a stira. Amar of Yirmiya answers the Gemara, Kitani Masnisa. When the Braisa says that even if the wings are touching, there is no chiv shluach hakan when it's hovering on top, they're talking about in the game in the side. Only when it's touching on the side. That's when there won't be a chiv of shluach hakan. But if it's touching from the top and it's hovering on top, then the Braisa will indeed hold that there is a chiv of shluach hakan. The Braisa will agree to the Mishnah. Ikadamri, there's a different version of this discussion, that it's the same discussion just in the reverse. Ikad Amr Lema Masailei. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav began with a halacha that if it's been roiv de ilon, if the mother bird is between the roiv de ilon, there is a chiyuv of shluach hakan. And the Gemara wants to suggest that this braisa is actually a raya to that position, because the braisa says, if the mother bird is sitting amongst the eggs, patam l'shaleach. Al gabeim, but if it's on top, chayev l'shaleach. Furthermore, says the Braisa, ha'isa ma'ifefes, if it's hovering above the nest, afilu kanafeh noigus became, even if its wings are touching the nest, patam l'shaleach, there is no chiv of shluach hakein. My b'neim, what is the case of b'neim? D'loy nago alayu, it's not touching from the top, it's only touching from the side. So, af al gabeim, isn't the case of gabeim also referring to a situation that they're not touching from the top, but they're just directly above? And this Bryce is teaching us that if it's directly above, even though they're on top, but they're not on the side, there will be a chiv of shluach hakein, which is exactly the case of roiv de ilon. So tomorrow, that isn't necessarily pshat in the Bryce. Shana Bright says, Agabeim Dumi Beneim. Ba Beneim, the Beneim is referring to the situation in Nagabu that they're touching, but they're only touching from the side, and that's why there's no Chir of Shluach HaKan. Af Agabeim is only the Nagabuhu. Only when they're touching from the top will there be a Chir of Shluach HaKan. Avra Roiv de Ilon, where there isn't an exact touching from the top, from the mother bird to the nest, will be Potter. Yehachi asked the Gemara, if the Braisa holds the roib de ilan is potter. Adatani seifa, when in the sefer it said, Haisa my fefes, afilo knafeh nagus began potter, that if it's hovering, even if the wings are touching, it's potter. Why didn't the Brisa tell us a bigger chiddush? Listen, the roib de ilan, the Brisa should have taught us the chiddush of roib de ilan, and we would learn that if by roib de ilan, there's no chiv of shluch hakan, as the Gemara is now suggesting, is the opinion of the Brisa, koshke my fefes, there shouldn't be a chiv of shluch hakan. Answers the Gemara, no. My fefes, it's the chalei. There's a bigger chiddush in my fefes than in the case of roib de ilan. Because as we learned, the filo can affair noigis bekan. In the case of my fefes, it's touching the actual lest, and batim l'shalayach. And that's why it isn't necessarily, roib de ilan is not necessarily a bigger chiddush than my fefes. Ask the Gemara again, the stira. For Tanan, here the Brisa says, that if it's hovering on top, even if the wings touch the nest, it's potter from shluch hakan. And our Mishnah said, "There's manshik nafeh noigis bekan." That if the wings are touching the nest, chayav l'shalayach, there is a chiv in shluch hakan. Amar of Yehuda, kitani masnis. The brayse that says that if it's hovering and it's touching, it's potter from shluch hakan, is strictly in a situation of nagei menatzar, where it's touching from the side. But if it would be touching from the top, it would be indeed chayiv in shluch hakan, as our Mishnah said. The Mishnah said, "Ain't sham." Ella Freyachachon, if there's only one chick or one egg, there is a chiv of shluach hakein. But there is no chiv of shluach hakein by chickens that can fly already or infertile eggs. Amlai huma rabbanan l'rova, eime ipcha. Why don't we say just the opposite? Ain't sham Freyach, Ella Echad, Abeya Echad. If there's only one chick or one egg, patma shleach. Why? Because the Torah says, Afreyachim Abeitzim. Veleka, you have to have more than one. On the other hand, Hayisham, Afroichem, Africhem, Abei, Muzaris, still, Chayiv l'shaleach, Shinam Akan, and we're going to say, Kamikom Mokom, any type of nest, even a nest that contains eggs that can't fly, that could fly already, or are infertile, answers the Gemara. If that was the case, that the Pyrus come to teach us all types of eggs, why does the Torah have to say, Inkei nechta krova eimer revetzus oleim. Why did Torah have to say ve'eimer revetzus ala efroichem oi beitzim? My ve'eimer revetzus ala efroichem ala beitzim? To teach us lefrushe efroichem beitzim or beitzim lefroichem, to make the hekish that we learned in the Mishnah that the efroichem and the beitzim have to be similar, and once they're either independent or can't turn into chickens, there is no chiyuv of shluach hakein. The question remains as to Rishonim. So why does the Torah, if the Torah is teaching us that there is a chiyuv of shluach hakein, even when you have only one chick or one egg, why does the Torah use the words afreichim or beitzim? So the answer, because usually there's more than one egg or one than one chick in the nest. But indeed, the halach would be that even if there was only one chick, one egg in the nest, there is no chiyuv. It is still chiyuv of shluach hakein. Says the Mishnah. Shalcha v'chazra. If he sent away the mother bird and it came back, afilu avav chamish upon him, even if this happened four or five times, there's still a chiyuv of shluach hakein. Chayiv. There's still a chiyuv of shluach hakein. Shenema shalayach to shalach hasein. And here we have a very fundamental machloikus achroinim between the Bach and the Shach. The Bach explains that the reason you have to keep on sending it away is because our Mishnah is referring to a situation where you did not fulfill the mitzvah properly the first time. We're going to learn later in the Shir Mitzvah Shem how the mitzvah is fulfilled, and we're referring here to a situation where the mitzvah wasn't properly fulfilled the first time. That's how the Bach learns. The Shach disagrees. The Shach says, of course, if one didn't fulfill the mitzvah properly, he has to do Shluach HaKein over again. Rather, the Shach explains that the Mishnah is referring to a situation where he fulfilled it. He did do the mitzvah Shluach HaKein properly the first time, and then the bird came back, and the Mishnah is teaching us that even though the bird came back, you have to keep on doing Shluach HaKein. But, in understanding the opinion of the Shach, the Dvar Avraham has a very fundamental question. he asks, how are we to understand what the shaft means? Are we to understand that the shaft means that the bird comes back and there's a new mitzvah of Shluach HaKayim? Or are we to understand, says the Dvar Avram, that it remains a continuation of the first mitzvah of Shluach HaKayim? The obvious nafkamina between the two ways of understanding the shach is, according to the opinions, that a bracha, we discussed this at the beginning of the parak, that a bracha is made when you do the mitzvah Shluach HaKayim. So if we say that every time the bird comes back, you're mekayim the mitzvah, there's a new mitzvah, so you would have to make a new bracha. But if we say it's just a continuation of the original mitzvah, then there would be no chiyuv to make a new bracha every time. Actually, to mention, many of the Rishonim suggest that another reason why there's no chiyuv to make a bracha by Shluach HaKayim is because of the previous sugya. Because we just learned that if the eggs are bein muzorois, unfertile eggs, there's no chiyuv of Shluach HaKayim, and there's always a concern that the eggs may be that type of egg. But again, the question here is, according to the Shach, is there a new chiyuv, or is it part of the original chiyuv? So, the Dvar Avram says that it's certainly, the Pshat in the Mishnah, according to the Shach, is that it's certainly part of the original chiyuv. Because, he explains, if it weren't part of the original chiyuv, just to tell us that every time you find such a bird, you have to do Shluach HaKayim, that's obvious that of course every time you have to do Shluach HaKayim you find a bird. It must be continuation of the original mitzvah. But then, he asks, if that is indeed the case, then maybe even if the bird is no longer there, even if the babies are no longer there, there should still be a chiyuv of Shluach HaKayim. Because the original mitzvah still has to be fulfilled. To which the Dvar Avram says that even if we'll explain that it is the opinion of the Shach that this is a continuation of the original mitzvah, we can't ever suggest that if there's no babies there, that there should be a chiyuv of Shluach HaKayim. And therefore, certainly under those circumstances, everybody would agree you don't have to do Shluach HaKayim. Continues the Mishnah. Omar, if somebody says, Hareini noitlas ein, mushalech sabonim, I'm taking the mother and sending away the children, chayiv, he's still chayiv in Shluach HaKayim. Shenema, for the Torah says, shalech to shalech sa'ein. And the way that we show him explain the Mishnah is as follows. One would think that the Mishnah, that the Torah is coming to teach us, that we're not allowed to have a situation that we're sending away both the mother, that we're taking both the mother and the babies. And therefore, we would think that it doesn't make a difference. As long as we're not taking both, we haven't done the Aveira. And we should be allowed to take the mother and send away the children. Teaches us the Mishnah that no, there's a very specific way that the mitzvah is fulfilled. The specific way that the mitzvah is fulfilled is only by sending away the mother. There is no other way of fulfilling the mitzvah. The Chacham Tzvi uses this Mishnah to teach us an issue that we've mentioned already, and is the chiyuv of Shluach HaKayim, does it include taking the children, or does the mitzvah Shluach HaKayim just sending away the mother? And he says, the fact that the Mishnah says that one has to send away the mother, it doesn't speak at all, that's the mitzvah. It doesn't say that you have to keep the children. From here we see that even if you don't keep the children, you fulfill the mitzvah. Even though we have a question, because the Torah does say the words, Vasabonim tikach loch. So the Mefarshim explain, interesting pshat, Vasabonim tikach loch comes to teach us that we know that one of the benefits one receives from fulfilling the mitzvah Shluach HaKayim is that he will have children. That's abonim tikach loch. The Torah means that you will have children. However, there are other achronim who disagree, specifically based on the Zohar that you only fulfill the mitzvah of Shluch HaKein is if you take the children for yourself. Notl Asabanim, if you took the bonim, the gzirim l'kein, and you put them back by the nest, v'achka chozra o'im aleim, and then the mother comes back, chotim l'shaleach, the potter from Shluch HaKein. If you took the children for yourself, once you took the children for yourself, you potter from Shluch HaKein. However, the Rishonim say that when is this din apply? That this din only applies when you took the children after you sent away the mother. So then you certainly had a right to take the children. And once you took those children, teaches us the Mishnah, there no longer is a din of Shluch HaKein. But let's say you took the children before you sent away the mother, which you weren't allowed to do, then even if you put the children, and then you put the children back, there will be a din of Shluch HaKein. Says the Gemara, Amalei Humer Rabbanan L'Rova, one of the Rabbanan said to Rova, Ve'ema, maybe the way to understand the pasuk is as follows, Shaleach Chadazim, send the bird away once, Tashalach as Trezimnan, twice, and there is no obligation to send the bird away more than twice. Amalei says Rova to him, that's not the way to understand the pasuk. Rather, the way to understand the pasuk is as follows, Shaleach Afil Me'epamim, send it away 100 times even, to Shalach, Eli Eladvarishos, I would only know that one is allowed to send it away for when he doesn't need the bird, the mother bird for Dvar Mitzvah. Ledvar Mitzvah Minayim, how do we know that if we need the mother bird for Dvar Mitzvah? And what is the Dvar Mitzvah we're referring to? It goes back to what we discussed extensively in our previous year, that during the purification, during the procedure of the purification of the Mitzvah, he needs to bring two birds. One bird is slaughtered and one bird is used to sprinkle and then sent away. So perhaps if I need that bird, that bird for that purpose, the halacha should be that I should be allowed to send it away. Tamaloymer, that's what the Torah says to Shalach, Mikomokam. Under all circumstances, we have to fulfill the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. Amalei Rav Abba Berei, the Rav Yosef, by Rav Kahana. What do we see here? Tama, only because the Torah yet said the word Tishalach. That's why we're saying that the mitzvah of Shluch HaKein supersedes the mitzvah of Taras Mitzvah. Halav Hachi, if not for this special pasuk, Hava Mina, we would suggest L'dvar Mitzvah Loi, that when there's a Dvar Mitzvah on the table, Shluch HaKein doesn't apply. But ask the Gemara, every time when we have a situation of Shluch HaKein, it's an essay of a lois essay. There's a lois essay of a lois sikach aim al bonim, and there's a lois essay shalach te shalach as aim. Then essay doich a lois essay v'asay. So even if we're going to say, and the Gemara is going to explain soon why we would say so, that Taharas HaMitzayra supersedes Shluch HaKein, but it can't supersede the mitzvah asay. We can't say the mitzvah asay is oichad the lois asay and the asay. So Tosfos asks, even if this was just, it seems from the Gemara that the entire problem is that it's a lois asay v'asay. But if it would just be an essay and a lois asay, then we wouldn't have a question. Ask Tosfos that it's when do we apply the concept of essay doichad lois asay? Only if that happens at the same time. But here, the essay, the lois essay is when we don't send away the mother, when we don't take away, when we take the mother, and the essay of Taras Mitzvah comes later. So we couldn't apply the concept of essay doicha lois essay anyway. So, says Tosfos, that when is there a concept, when is there a rule that we only say essay doicha lois essay when it happens at the same time? That's only when it's not an important essay. But here, as the Gemara will soon explain, that the essay of Taharas Mitzvah is a very important essay, we apply the concept of essay, Doicha Lois essay, even if it's not at the same moment, even if it's not Be'idne. Furthermore, there's a question, Amachloikas Rishonim, when is one over Lesika Chaim Alabonim? is it only if as soon as he takes away the mother without sending her away, or if he takes the mother, or is it that he's only by taking the mother and the babies? So the Meches Chinuch says from here we have a raya that you over the lav just by taking the mother. For if you were only over the lav, says the Meches Chinuch, when you take the mother and the babies, why don't we say that you didn't take the babies here, and that's why there is no problem of a lav. The fact that the Gemara says that there is always going to be a lav, even if you just take the mother, is a raya that loisikach ema abonim doesn't mean that you have to take both to be over. Even if you take one, you're already over the lav of loisikach ema abonim. The other rishonim will have to explain that here we have a situation that you can have an essay and a lois essay, even if you can come up with a particular situation where you don't. Says the Gemara, loitzricha, the case over here is the other of a shakulay. The case over here is that he took the mother, the lav avri, so he already was over the lav. That cannot be rectified. What is there? Esehu de'ika. There's only an essay left, the essay of shalachta shalaycha se'ein. So we would think, and the Gemara will explain soon why we would think so, the leisei essay, the litche essay, the essay of taharas mitzayra, should be doicha the essay of shluch ha'tein, kamash malon, that's why the Torah has to teach us that there is, that is impossible, that we don't say that. Ask the Gemara, hanich lamando mekayim v'loy kayim. The Gemara Masech Damakis discusses that by a lav hanitik lasei, there is no malchus. And the Gemara there discusses, and it's really based on how to understand the Braisa, the Gemara quotes a machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, how does it work with a lav hanitik lasei? Reish Lakish opinion is that if, and we'll use the classical lav hanitik lasei, the classical lav hanitik lasei is gzeila, but you're not allowed to steal, but you can rectify it by the Heshem as a Gzela. So according to Reish Lakish, you have to rectify it, and Rashi's interpretation of Reish Lakish is, you have to rectify it immediately. If you didn't rectify it immediately, you're over the lav. But Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is, that you're not over the lav, unless it becomes impossible to rectify. If you could still rectify it, as long as you could return what you stole, you're not over the lav. So says the Gemara, Hanich l'mandam kima v'loy kima. According to Reish Lakish, that if you're not rectifying it immediately, you're over the lav. So we could understand the tariff the Gemara just gave. The Gemara just said you were over the lav anyway already. However, asked the Gemara, El mandam tani bitloy v'loy bitloy, that you're not over the lav until it becomes impossible to be over the lav. And therefore, in this case, even if you took away the mother, it doesn't mean that you took the mother, it doesn't mean that you're over the lav. Because kamat lo shakta, until you won't actually slaughter the mother, lo avre lav, you won't be over the lav because it could be rectified. So what is the Gemara saying that we're referring to a situation that you were over the lav already? And now all that's left to discuss are the two mitzvahs that say you weren't over the lav. Because until you can rectify the lav, you're not over the lav. Vesu, furthermore, we're going to learn in the next Mishnah, the opinion of Yehuda d'Amma, Shalach Mekarat Mashma, that the Torah, when it says Shalayak, means before you took it. But once you took it, I feel that's an amulaka, that this is not considered lav hanitik lasei. So if we're talking about a case that you already took everything, so then there's no essay, or no los essay to discuss. El Amar Rashi, says Rashi, the case that's being discussed was Shnotlo Amanas L'Shalayak, that it was taken with the intention to send away. So you weren't over a lav, because you had the proper intention. The lav leka. There is no lav. Your intention was to do the right thing. What's left? A seyudeka. All you're left with is the say of shaleach to shaleach. The lav of lo sikach ha'aim, you're not transgressing. And therefore we would think, so let's say, essay, the litre essay, Perhaps the essay should be doicha that say, teaches us the Torah that it's not. The question that the Achronim discuss is, what does it mean, shenot lamanas l'shaleach? The Miches Chinuch explains, even if at the end you don't send it away, it makes no difference. Since when you took it, you had the intent to send it away, you're not over the lav. The Shagas Ari disagrees. He says, only if you ultimately send it away, will you not be over the lav. But if you don't send it away, you would be over the lav. So ask the Gemara. So now we've established a situation where there is no lav. And the Torah is teaching us that this mitzvah say of Shluach HaKein supersedes the mitzvah of Taras Mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, my Umma, the high essay, my essay. Why indeed is this essay stronger than that essay? So, what is the Gemara's question? So, the Chon says that perhaps the Gemara's question is that you could do either one, either mitzvah. Why is the Torah teaching us that you should specifically do the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein? Answers the Gemara, Saka Daita, because we would think, Hoyav Amamar, Gol Sholem Ben Ish Lishtoi, the Torah gives great importance to Sholem Bayis, Shirei Amra Torah, Shmoy Shal Kadosh Baruch Shenichta V'Kedusha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name that we always have to treat with such great respect, Yemoch Alamayim, we allow to be erased by a Soita, V'Hai Mitzorah, and when we speak about a Mitzorah, Kivan the Kama Deloi Mitar, until he undergoes his purification process. The halacha is also the tasha shemitah. He may not have relations with the wife. The ksiv, as the Torah says, the yetsim chutz lo'olo yishivas yomoy yishivas yomim olo yizu ishtoy. We can she'os v'tasha shemitah, but Mitzorah can't have relations with the wife. So may the tema. So we would think that when it comes to Mitzorah, keeping the os v'tasha shemitah, lies esedaday that's if taras Mitzorah should be doicha shiluch hakein. Mashmalon, that Shluch HaKein comes first. So I saw the Mepharshim say, and why indeed is it so? So I saw a very beautiful pshat. We explained the other day that what is the reason for the mitzvah Shluch HaKein? The Zoya says, because the mother goes and cries. And when this mother bird cries, it causes that Kodesh Baruch Hu should have Rachmanis on Klai Yisrael. What does it mean that Kodesh Baruch Hu has Rachmanis on Klai Yisrael? He brings Mashiach. And when Mashiach comes, there will be Shalom in the world. Shalom in the world means not just Shalom between all the nations of the world. Shalom means between people, between husband and wife. So Shluch HaKein accomplishes the same thing as the Taras Mitzorah, that it brings Shalom Bayis, and therefore Shluch HaKein, and it brings Shalom to the entire world, and therefore Shluch HaKein comes first. Says the Mishnah, Hanoitel Eim Alabonim. Rabbi Yehuda, once you're ready, we're over the lav. You're over the lav, and there is no point in sending it away. The chamamim mishaleich ve'en aloika. That by fulfilling the mitzvah of Shluch HaKein, you could correct the lav of loitikach ha'em alabonim. And zeh klal, for says the Mishnah Ru, kam mitzvah sheyesh bo kam v'asei, any mitzvah that can be, any lav that can be rectified, a lav anitik l'asei, ain like in Allah, there is no Malkus. Ask the Gemara. By Rav Abba B'mamu. Tam of Rabbi Yehuda. How do we understand the opinion of Yehuda in our Mishnah? Is it Mishum the Sovereign that he holds, Lav Shenitik Lasei like in Allah, that there is no dispensation for Lav Shenitik Lasei? Or Dilma, or perhaps the way to understand Rabbi Yehuda, is B'alma Sovereign Lav Shenitik Lasei ain like in Allah. Usually he will agree that there is no Malkus for Lav HaNitik L'Asei. For Hochayim Tama, what is shot in his opinion in our Mishnah? Rishum the Kosover Shaleich Mikar Mashma. The Torah says to send away the mother bird. It's not meant as a remedy if you took it. It's meant what you're supposed to do before. Toshma Ganav HaGazlan Yeshna B'Klal Malkus Diver Rabbi Yehuda. That a Ganav and a Gazlan Achayiv Malkus. Ask the Gemara. Certainly the case of Gzeila is a lava nitik lasei. The Rachmana Amma, for the Torah said, Lois Sigzo, and the Torah said, Vaheshiv is a Gzeila. And as Rishonim point out, even though the pasuk of a heishiv as a gzela appears before the pasuk of loisigzo, you can't explain it any other way, because you can't return what you haven't stolen. And yet, Rabbi Yehuda says in this braisa that Yechayiv Malkus for Gzela, Shmamina, isn't this a clear proof? The Tam of Yehuda, that is the opinion of Yehuda, the Kesav Alav Shem Teklas say, Loikin Alav, says the Gemara, Omelay Rav Zeir, said back Rav Zeir to him, Lava Minilchu, have I not told you, Kamasnis Loitanya, Bei Rav Chiva Rav Oishya, any braisa that wasn't taught in the yeshiva of Chiyah Rabbi Isha, Mishabeshtahi, is to be considered inaccurate. And it shouldn't be brought to the yeshiva to ask questions from. Dilma, because this braisa, as you learned it, is incorrect. The way to understand the braisa, and the Bechlal Malkus, Abon Tanya, that actually Rabbi Isha is telling us that there is no Chiyah Malkus here, because Rabbi Yehuda certainly subscribes to the concept of Lat Nitikasei. Toshma, the Tanya of Oishu Rav Chiya, Loishav, if somebody had Shivcha, and the Torah says that he shouldn't take it, what happens and he took it? Loishachal, the Torah says that we shouldn't take the Peya. We should leave over the Peya for Aniyim, the Chila, but the person took the Peya. Yeshnam B'klal Malkus Abayim, if somebody did this, he's Chayiv Malkus. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Shmamina. Isn't this a clear indication? The Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda holds, Lav Shenitik Lasei, Loikin Alav. Because these are all Lavin that can be corrected. You can always give back the Shecha, and you can always give back the Peah. Answers the Gemara. Dilma Hasam Hanatama. Again, it could well be, says the Gemara, that Rabbi Yehuda does subscribe to the concept of Lav Hanitik Lasei. There, it's not a Lav Hanitik Lasei, because the Torah says, Tazov Mikar Mashma. The Torah first says the Sei, and then the Lav. When is it considered a Lav Hanitik Lasei? Only when the Sei comes after the Lav, not before the Lav. Amle Ravina Ravashi, Toshma. The Pasuk says, Loi Sesirim Menim Rebaiker. We're not allowed to leave over from the Karim Pesach till past the night. And if you did leave it over, it should be burnt. Says the Gemara, Boa Kosef, what is the Torah trying to say with this? The Torah is trying to teach us, the Boa Kosef, the Torah is trying to teach us that there's going to be Boa Kosef Litan Essay Echelaisa say, that there's an essay that can correct the Lav. Loim Lach, Shema, Shein Loikin Lach. That this is considered a Lav and Mythic Lassay, and there is no Malkus. Now, who is saying this? This is being said Rabbi Yehuda, Shmamina. So we see from here, the Rabbi Yehuda certainly does subscribe to the concept of Lav Hanitik Lasei, and Tam Rabbi Yehuda, just the reason in our Mishnah he says that there is Malkus is because he doesn't consider this a Lav Hanitik Lasei, and the reason he doesn't consider it a Lav Hanitik Lasei because he holds the Kesavar, he says what the Mishnah means, what the Torah means, Shaleich Mikar Mashma. The Torah means send it before you take it. Once you take it, you can't do the mitzvah. Shema Mino, this is clearly the proof, this is clearly the pshat in Rabbi Yehuda. Omler of Idil Rav Ashi, Masnisa Namideka. We could bring a right to this position from our Mishnah. The Tani, because let's read the words of the Mishnah again. Hanoita la'im alabonim. Rabbi Yehuda ima, loike v'anim shalayach. If somebody is noita la'im alabonim, you get Malkus and there's no point in sending it away. If we're going to say that the reason Rabbi Yehuda holds in our Mishnah you get Malkus, Tam Rabbi Yehuda is, because Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, the Lav Shenitik Lasei, Loikin Alav, Loike, Umashalech Miboilei. He should have said that he gets Malkus and he has to send away the mother bird. Why did Rabbi Yehuda say that he doesn't have to send it away? He doesn't say you have to send it away. Obviously, because it is opinion that you only have to send it away before you took it for yourself. Once you took it for yourself, there is no point in sending it away. And that's why it's not considered a Lav Hanitik Lasei. Ask the Gemara, Vildima Hofkan Masnisen, maybe shot in the Mishnah is, a Nifter Ad Malkin Alev. He has to indeed send it away. And the Mishnah is trying to teach us that besides that, he gets Malkus for being over the Mishnah, for being over the Lav. So in other words, what the Mishnah is saying, that he gets Malkus and he's exempt from, but not that he's exempt from sending the bird away. He has to send the bird away anyway, but the Malkus he gets, because even though it's a Lav and Nitiklas say, if you do a hold, you get Malkus. At Kama Mishalka, how far do you have to send it? On Rabbi Yehuda, agitates him taxiyodai, until it leaves that distance. It has to go the distance that he can't easily catch her. That's how the Chazon Ish explains. But Mama Shalcha, how does he send her away? Rav Huna Amar Bereglea, with her feet. Rav Yehuda Amar Bagafeha, with her wings. But we'll see, wings here don't mean wings. Wings actually mean feathers. Rashi explains that what the Gemara means here when it says b'mam shalchay means which of its limbs must be there for the minkayim the mitzvah shluach hakayim. And Rav Huna says its feet have to be there. Bagafeh means its wings have to be there. The Rambam, however, learns poshe pshan. This is actually the first pshan in Rashi, that beragleo means you have to grab it by its feet. Bagafeh means you have to grab it by its wings. And the Rambam actually learns this pshat, and he says, you're only mekayim shluach hakayim with actually grabbing its feet or its wings. And therefore, the Chasam Sofer says, even though according to Rashi, that's not pshat, according to the Rambam, the right way to do it, says the Chasam Sofer, and you want to fulfill the opinion of the Rambam also, is to actually lift it to do the, and send it away. I saw there were other achroim that disagree with the Chasam Sofer, because they say, if the halacha is like Rashi, and you don't have to actually pick it up, by picking it up, you may be over tzar bal chayim. Rav Huna Amar Bereglea, Rav Huna says its feet have to be there, the ksiv, Meshalchi regla shor v'chamor. Rav Huna Amar Bereglea, dol knefer ninu. Those are its wings. Says the Gemara, who the ganzel gapa v'shalcha? There was a person who took away the wings, and again, as we're learning, it means the feathers, and then the shlucha came. Vakach tafsan, then he grabbed her. Nagde Rav Huna. Rav Huna gave him Malkus. Amalei zil rabalei gatfei. Wait till its feathers grow back. V'sholcha, and then do shlucha kan. Kaman, ask the Gemara. Whose opinion was Rav Yehuda following? Ik Rav Yehuda loike ben mishaleach. Rav Yehuda said in our Mishnah, give Malkus, but there's no point in sending it away. Ik Rabbanon. Rabbanon say, mishaleach ben loike. Once you send it away, you don't get Malkus. Answered the Gemara, loyal and Rabbanon. And what was the Malkus here? It wasn't Malkus deraisa. It was Malkus Mardis deRabbanon that he shouldn't act this way. Says the Gemara, who does look at me deRava? Only Tima Mahu. What's the halacha by a Tima? Is the Chiva Shluch HaKayim? Amma. So he said, Loyoda HaGavra, Doif Tor Chayv L'Shluchi. Does he not know there's a Chiva Shluch HaKayim by kosher birds? Amma. So he said to him, Dima Chad Beisu deRamya. Maybe what you mean to ask is because there's only one egg. Amalei in. Yes, that's what I mean. Meant. Amalei hayodawach. Misnisen he. This I know. It's our Mishnah. Ain't sham, because our Mishnah said, ain't sham ela afroich echor abey echor, chayv l'shaleach. So even though there's only one bird, so certainly one egg, you have to do it. Sholcha. So he sent it away. For hadalei rava praspeke. Rava put up a net, a fence, a trap, the tafs, and he caught that mother bird. Asked the Gemara v'leichus l'chashda, why should Rava not be concerned that people will accuse him that he gave this psak that it should be sent away in order that he should be able to get the mother? And the Talmud Chacham has to be careful that he should not be even accused that he did something or that he issued a ruling with a personal negius, with a personal issue involved. Answered the Gemara, Klachiyad. He put the trap in a way that it wasn't noticeable. So I saw the Mechas Elazar explained, why did Rava do this? Rava, he still was opening himself up to Pshad. Why did Rava act this way? So Mechas Elazar explains that Rava specifically wanted to eat from this mother bird, because he wanted to eat from a bird with which there was a mitzvah Shluach HaKayim fulfilled, and that's why he went out of the way to try to get the bird, but as the Gemara explains, not in a way that it would create any shad on him.